here. We got the lovely Brittany Parlor. Amen. From little old Syracuse, New York. You know, Brittany has been doing such an incredible job judging all of our contestants, and we know she's going to be a lot of fun today. Chip, Randy Jackson Moody is another one of our judges from our very own Chicago, Illinois. And last but not least, JL Cook Cowell from the UK, the half-sister of Simon Cowell. She'll be judging each of our contestants today. Now, we asked for each of our contestants that someone would mentor them. Anthony Franklin being one of our best preachers in the church, we thought it'd be a great idea to have him come and really mentor and help these guys and teach them how to preach the word. Anthony, why don't you tell us a little bit about these guys?
They've all done a great job. They've really been preparing. And just real briefly, I'm really excited to hear what you guys are going to say today. Greg, we talked, and I know he's really going to be focused on clear communication. And so that's great. I know Anna, she was nervous, but she really wants to bring the scriptures to life. And so we're excited about that. Jeremy, man, he was the first one to call and say, hey, I want to get with you. And I think that early preparation could give him the lead. I mean, we'll see. And Tia, it was great because she was actually the last one to call. But hey, she said the pressure's on, right? And she said she really excels when that happens. And so I'm really excited to see what happens.
Awesome. Now, first off, we're going to hear Greg Biggs, and on deck will be Anna DeBaris. Do we have a timer in the back? They're each going to get 3 minutes to come up and preach the word. So, without further ado, Greg Biggs.
All right. So, the world understands the concept that they took from us.
Oh.
They took from the kingdom. And that concept is world evangelism.
Oh! Okay. Come on, bro.
Michael Jordan has evangelized the world.
Okay.
Everybody knows that bald head.
Oh. Come on.
So the ladies, Oprah has evangelized them.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows who she is. Pepsi. Everybody knows Pepsi. That's my favorite beverage. We all know Pepsi. But guys, that concept came from us first.
Come on.
Guys, the world did it faster than we have. They went to the people. How often do we sit and not go to people and think we're going to evangelize the world in this generation?
Come on,
everybody flip to Acts 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision. I lost my place. Hold on. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Guys, this could have been very easy for everybody else but Paul to say, we're not going. We're not going to go to the people. But they conclude that God had called all of them to go.
Yeah,
just, how often do we not go when somebody else has a vision?
Oh, come on.
JL.
Come on. Oh. Come on.
Guys, we can sit and not go for how many reasons? What is stopping you from going to the people?
Oh.
I know for me it has been fear at times. It has been my own selfishness. Fear has been the biggest one for me this semester, though. I've been afraid that if I go too far at Columbia, I may get kicked off campus. I'm not a student there yet. And I'm afraid that that will keep me from being a student there ever. Guys, what is stopping you today from going to the people? Guys, in Jeremiah 1, God says to Jeremiah, go to whoever I send you to. Say what I command you to say to them. We said that is God's plan. You know, I felt like the Spirit was working between me and Chris, because a lot of the scriptures that Chris was using today was stuff I was going to use.
Unified.
So guys, God is sending us. That is God's plan to evangelize the world. It is through you. But you have to go to the people.
Come on.
Guys, let's go to Matthew 28:18. And this is World Evangelism 101 right here. This is as simple as it gets. This is the basics of it. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, in the name of the Father." Is my time up? Okay. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you.
Oh, no.
Well, let's see what the judges have to say. Okay. Brittany?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Brittany.
I think you did a great job today. I think it was great that you started off relating it to our world, because that can help people understand the concept of world evangelism a lot better. Because I believe there are probably people in our audience who are like, what the heck is that? You know, so that helps. I thought of Pepsi, McDonald's, you talked about Michael Jordan, Oprah, that's awesome. And then I was wondering, like, so great challenge, when are you going to tie it in? Yeah, you did a great job with the scriptures. When you put JL on blast, I didn't really understand that, so that kind of got me distracted. I was like, huh, like, is JL in sin, or like, what's the deal right here? So, if you were going to do that, I would have said to, I don't know, better explain why you said that, because I was confused. But yeah, you definitely related it to yourself. I think that's huge bonus that you helped us see that you had fear, and I think a lot of us have fear, and that's what's stopping us too.
Hello. Well, Greg, you know you're my dog, right? Yeah, okay. I thought you did a really great job, especially with your intro. I thought your intro was really good to get us thinking about what is world evangelism, but putting it on our terms and putting it in terms that the world understands so you can really get spiritual with it. I thought your point was great. You know, what's stopping you from following the vision? You know, as disciples, we all know what the vision is. So what is stopping us from really getting up and doing what it is we need to do? And I thought your zeal was great. So your power in speaking, you got a little tripped up, you know, while reading, but I thought it was great that as soon as you caught yourself, you got right back into it, and you know, you preached very powerfully, so I thought you did a great job.
Mr. Biggs, here's the thing. I appreciate your efforts in including me in your sermon. I do want to elaborate a bit on him calling me out. We had the Columbia Bible Talk together, and there was a young lady that was sitting in the lounge before we were having Bible Talk, and he told me that I should go share my faith with her. So I did. And she was open, and I got her number. Her name was Keisha. And I come back, and Greg said, "See, when I have a vision and I tell you to go, you go." I say to him, I say, "Greg, that was not a vision. You did not see a vision. You saw an afro." It was a nice afro. It got my attention as well, but I don't consider it a vision. But anyways, yeah, you should have probably explained that, because it threw quite a few people off. I mean, it made me look a little, you know. And my point is, that I'm getting to, is that it was a good sermon in lieu of missions. It really was inspiring, and you did trip up a couple of times. Maybe you could have highlighted some things and just knew what you were going to say, but it was good. It was a good last run. Jolly ho.
So Greg, it sounds like these judges thought you were a little distracted. Would you say you were distracted?
At a time or two, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. All right, well, let's give it up for Greg Biggs. Now, at the very end of all of our preachers, we're actually going to have a time where you guys can vote who you think should be the one to prepare our hearts and minds on May the 7th. Great job.
Great job, Greg!
And the Nabaris.
Okay, so one of the blessings that comes with being a true disciple of Jesus is having God's plan for all mankind and getting to be a vital part of it. You know, it is God's plan for the world to be evangelized and for all nations to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And if we truly believe that being a disciple is the greatest purpose for our lives, then God's dream of world evangelism will also become our dream.
Come on.
It's so great to be able to share in our Master's happiness by sharing in His work, but it can also be hard to have impact at times. And I think for many of us, the challenge comes when we don't deeply love the people around us. So today I'm going to talk about loving the lost. Jesus was the ultimate example of loving the lost. Let's turn to Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And so this is an example of how Jesus showed love to the people around him. You know, he had compassion on the people that were in the synagogues that he taught. He looked at them as people who were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, because they didn't have God. We need to have the same compassion for the people in our daily lives, at school and at work, and just imitate Jesus' loving heart for people. When I think of somebody who deeply loves from the heart, I think of Maria Cortez.
Oh, come on.
Because of the way she takes care of people when they're studying the Bible. When I was studying the Bible, I wasn't very open, but she built a friendship with me, and she didn't give up on persuading me to follow Christ.
Amen.
And we didn't have a lot in common, but she found ways to connect with me, and that's what world evangelism is all about.
Oh.
You know, like Chris was saying, it's like being on a search and rescue team. You don't pick and choose who you're going to share with.
That's right.
You don't just share with people that have the same interests as you or came from the same country, but you share with everyone who needs God.
Right.
Sometimes we get stressed out by daily trials, and we feel like all we need is for people to encourage us. But it says in Philippians 2:3-4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your interests, but also to the interests of others." So to love the lost, we have to be completely selfless and think about their needs before our own. And that's God's plan for world evangelism. You know, we have to be just like Jesus, who loved people from the heart and who constantly thought about the needs of others before his own. So let's be determined to love the lost.
Good job. How do you think you did?
Pretty good. I wasn't that nervous.
Great. Well, let's hear from the judges, and maybe this time if you guys could go a little faster. That'd be great.
Awesome. Anna, you had a great intro. And I think you had great scriptures. I love how you lifted up Maria Cortez, because she is someone who deeply loves, and I think that's great for everybody to know. And I love how you said that you guys didn't have a lot in common, and then you related that to search and rescue, how you can't choose people just who have a lot in common with you. The only thing I would have liked to see is personal, like relating this to your own life. You know, have you ever struggled with only reaching out to certain people, or do you feel like this is one of your strengths, or how do you think you can grow and try to relate to the crowd more?
Okay. Hello, hello. Anna, I thought you did a really, really great job. Having God's plan and getting involved in it, extremely important as a disciple. I was really taken by using Maria Cortez as an example, because as disciples, we should know our brothers and sisters. So if someone's doing a great job of something, I think it's great that you just used her to show, you know, what a loving person is. And I did think that you were getting a little bit open when talking about how you weren't open, and her example of love kind of opening you up to fulfill God's plan. So I thought that example from your life was very good. Your ending seemed a little bit rushed, you know, like you're kind of fumbling around, but then you got cut off. But overall, I think you did a really good job.
Don't like that I have to stand. Anna. You are just so cute. I just love it. Today you didn't type your notes. It's different. I like that you still, you were still very structured, though. That's the thing. You showed me that you don't need to type it to still be organized, and I was impressed. You really remind me of Luke 10:3. You're like a lamb among wolves, but you're an effective lamb. You're sweet. You are sweet. You are mouth, you know, you're... Okay, well, so let me just get to your sermon. And quickly, I love how you touched on the idea of being all things to all people for world evangelism. Like, no matter what or who you are, you can reach out to anyone, any situation, And I like that you used, you flipped it and you put yourself in the lost person's position, like what it was like for you to be studying the Bible, and that's how you related it to your life. So I think you really did do that. You may not have put yourself in the position of the person reaching out, but you show that I was there, I was a lost person, and what Maria did for you is what helped you come to your decision to want to be a disciple. So I thought that was really great how you did that. And I just altogether think it was a great piece.
Well, sounds overall like you did a great job. Do you think that when the music cut you off, do you think that affected your closing at all?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think you did an awesome job. Amen. Jeremy Mandley. Okay, bro. All right, today I want to talk about world evangelism. World evangelism. And the title of my today's lesson is Wholehearted Evangelism. And you know, I ask myself, am I sold out all the way for God? You know, am I sold out to the point where I can be persecuted and beaten for preaching God's word? Or am I sold out all the way to where I'd be willing to go to jail for preaching God's word? And finally, am I sold out to the point that I'd be willing to die for preaching God's word? And I'm learning that this walk with God isn't the prosperity that people preach about. If everyone could turn to Hebrews 12 with me, please.
Come on, bro.
2-4.
Come on, bro.
It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of those of God." At the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And I know that God will never give me, you know, more than I can bear. And it all really boils down to how grateful am I, you know, for the cross. And I know a lot of people suffered and died for this.
Come on now.
And you know, God wants us to seek him wholeheartedly. And again, I ask myself, do I seek God wholeheartedly? You know, I know that there's a lot of things that I sought wholeheartedly. You know what I mean? Like, and I think, am I at every Bible talk that I can attend? Am I walking wholeheartedly in faith? And am I putting all my trust into the Lord as I should be? And if you read in Acts 8, you will see that you'll see that Stephen shed his blood and lost his life for the advancement of the gospel. And, you know, Stephen suffered for the gospel, which is something that is promised to all of us who follow Jesus Christ. So, here's a few reasons why we should not fear. If everyone could turn to Philippians 4:12-13, please.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Jeremy.
Come on, dude.
Great job.
I know what it is to have... I know what it is to have, be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. All the glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. How do you think you did, Jeremy?
I think I did all right. I stumbled a little bit, though.
All right. Well, hey, before we go to the judges, I forgot to give you guys the phone number to vote for Anna. So if you're going to vote for Anna later, make sure you text Elliot at...
Jeremy, I love how you talked about wholeheartedness, and I feel like you gave your whole heart today. You did a great job, asked good questions, and you gave great examples of how we should be wholehearted in sacrificing our lives and trusting God. And then I love how you closed out with why we shouldn't fear, because God gives us all the strength that we need.
Amen.
Okay, Jeremy, you know you're my dog, right? What'd you say? You look sharp. Look very nice with your little earring thing right there. Your intro was a little bit shaky. You seem kind of stumble-ish, you know, but how grateful am I for the cross, you know, something that should always be on our hearts, and talking about Stephen giving his life, you know, in a wholehearted act of evangelism. But I think overall it seemed like you were kind of trudging through your scriptures, but in your scripture usage, I think I would have appreciated something that was talking about, like, wholeheartedness or evangelism, you know, because I do appreciate what you were talking about, but I don't know if your scriptures completely supported exactly what you were trying to say. So I guess next time to use some better scriptures. But you were really giving, and I appreciate that. So.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you? You clean up well. You look nice. I thought it was funny when your introduction, you said world evangelism. I'm like, are we going to be graffitiing the whole city or something? That was that. Well, but I agree with Chip. A little bit, the scriptures weren't exactly supporting, like, world evangelism or wholeheartedness. I liked Acts 8 as a side note about Stephen, because I'm reading through Acts, and I'm seeing a lot of evangelism and a lot of persecution. It's like, if you don't have the faith and you don't have the strength that you know you can get from the Lord, and like you talked about in Philippians, you could be cowardly and not want to endure all of that suffering that they went through in Acts. But I just thought it was a great connection. And you are so comfortable up there, like you're just having a conversation with the congregation. It was really, I just felt like we were just sitting and just talking with you. And I like that kind of preaching. You know, you don't always have to yell at us, you know, unless we need to be rebuked, you know. But it was good. Great job.
Great job, Jeremy. Great job. Have a seat. Last but not least, Tia Willie, you can text Carl at...
All right, so I'm going to talk about a little bit about making the most of every opportunity. So the first scripture I want to look at is in Colossians 4.
Come on.
Verses 2 through 6. I'm just going to start reading. I got 3 minutes. All right, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act. To our outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. You know, in the first verse it says, devote yourselves to prayer. The word devote means to give over. We have to beg God for those open people that we want to evangelize. You know, we cannot go out there thinking we're going to share our faith, and if we don't bring it to God, that they're just going to be right there like, oh yeah, I want to come to church. No, that usually just don't happen. So we need to pray to God and just ask God to give those people over to us. You know, God has given us an opportunity every day to share our faith. You know, when we're walking, when we're on a train, when we're on the bus, when we're at school, you know, there's not an opportunity that we don't have. And so, well, one of the questions I wrote down was, how do we expect to evangelize if we don't open our mouths? You know, we're given an opportunity. How can we evangelize if we don't even talk to the people that are sitting next to us on that train or on that bus? All it takes is a decision to open our mouths and speak up. You know, Brittany always says to me, people are as open as our mouths are. You know, and I was like, oh, wow, that's so true. Like, if we speak up, we have something good to share with other people. We have something that they want to listen to if we just speak up and be bold. Another scripture I thought of was 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, we are ambassadors of Christ. You know, we represent Christ. And so that means when we're going out there, we have to share the gospel no matter where we are. You know, an ambassador is somebody who represents a country, and no matter where they are, they're representing everywhere. So I think for us as disciples, we need to be out there as an ambassador, you know, like no matter where we are, if we're at work, if we're at school, if we're at, I don't know what y'all do in y'all spare time, but, you know, that's what we need to do. And I wrote down that evangelism is a lifestyle. It's not for us to pick and choose when we want to do it, when we feel like it. But we don't just reserve time during the week when we say, oh, yeah, Monday I'm going to go share my faith. But no, this is what we do every day, and this is who we are as disciples. And I think the perfect example of that is Nikki DeBaris. When I'm with Nikki, she's like sharing her faith everywhere, coming out of the bathroom, going in the bathroom, on her way to class, on her way to the bus stop. She's sharing her faith. And I think that's something that we can all imitate. And if we expect to evangelize the world and our generation, we need to make the most of every opportunity and seize the day. We can't evangelize this city if we're not talking. You know, we can't expect to evangelize the world in this generation if we're not making it happen right now here in Chicago. So I just want to encourage everyone to seize the day and make the most of every opportunity.
There you go. Amen.
I did all right. I stumbled a little bit.
You sound a little out of breath. You okay?
No.
Amen. Amen. So let's take it to the judges.
I'm not out of breath. I'm not out of breath.
Tia, I wish we could have given you more time. This is obviously something that you have a lot of conviction about, which I think is really awesome. I love that you are confident. You added a little bit of your own flavor. And most of all, I think your conviction really came out. And your first scripture totally hit the nail on the head with the point that you were trying to make. And there was so much material that you used, and so it was kind of a blur, but that's why I said if you had more time, I think we could have, I don't know, yeah. But yeah, maybe you guys can get... No, don't boo her, no! But I... No!
Okay, Tia, hi there.
Hi.
Thought you did a really, really... really good job. Your intro was very fast, but I liked that because you just got right into it. You recognize that you don't have a lot of time, and I really appreciated that your point was in the scripture. So I'm like, okay, make the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? What do you have to say about that? Well, it's like, well, the scripture says it, so we can look at the scripture. So I really like that. I thought your speaking was really great. The fact that you were very personable and we really got to see your personality is just wonderful when a preacher is doing that, because then we know where it's coming from. It's coming from you. Your big ups to Brittany and Nikki showing us a good example. I think that's really great. And talking about being an ambassador, it's also awesome. And evangelism as a lifestyle, not something that we just do, but something that we live, I think is very important, because I know even myself, I get caught up in thinking about, okay, I need to evangelize. It's like, no, you are a disciple. You're an evangelist. You go out and you evangelize. Like, that's what you do. So I really appreciate that. Your wrap-up was great. You finished in time and you got all your stuff out. So did a great job.
Okay. Tia, is it?
Yes.
Tashana, I just love this. I loved this sermon. I'm going to start with the bad, which is one thing, is that you started off as yourself. It's the high energy Tia that we all know and love. But by the end of it, you just were strictly business. It's like, you know, and this is a strictly business, you know, subject. We have to do our job. We have to evangelize and reach out. But you could have tied in some more personality, because I know you, and if someone were to ask you, where'd you get those shoes? You're like, you tell them where you got them from, how much they were, if they're still there, what size they had left. Like, you just tell them everything. And that's what it's like to evangelize. If you have the insight on something awesome, you want to tell everyone you have the chance to. Girl, I got these from Charlotte Russe, and you know, you're always, you know, and that's what I would have liked to see when you were up there preaching. But everything tied in great with, you know, your scriptures. You have this thing where you always give the dictionary definition, which lets us know you're educated and you know your stuff. So I take it back, you know, you're not a competition Fantasia. You are Tia. You don't have to be put into some category with someone else. You are yourself, and that's what we like to see when you bring it to the pulpit.
Thank you.
Great job.